Okay, so do you want to do like a little introduction, who you are and what you do?
Okay, yes. I'm Ronnie Bandini, and I'm a writer, coder from Argentina.
Okay.
And first time at Hope, I'm very excited to be here. It's a great place, great people.
So now, I saw that you've hooked up a box to the power. It's got it's a wooden box with a kind of like a wall wart attached to it. So what is this?
That is a Raspberry Pi inside. I made this to monitor a Twitter account. That's a Twitter account that replicates the presidential Twitter account in Argentina.
Okay.
And it's using, in fact, a chatbot to answer all the questions. But actually, the people doesn't know that a chatbot is in charge of this account. So they think that someone thinks that it's the president, someone thinks that it's only like a fake account with somebody there answering.
Mm-hmm. But it's all the responses are automated.
That's right. That's right. And the chatbot I used to replicate this account was, in fact, developed in the mid-90s for a porn website.
For a porn website?
Yeah.
So you're using a porn website chatbot to pretend to be the president of Argentina.
That's right. And to tell you the truth, it's working better now than it was working in the mid-90s for that porn website.
So, what do people ask it?
Different things, not always questions. I think the people is very angry and use this account to express the anger about all those 12 years of this government.
So, mm-hmm.
Insults and some questions as well. Yeah.
And how does the bot choose to respond to people's like comments and questions?
It's like a basic chatbot. At one point, it tries to detect like phrases, complete phrases. If it doesn't find a phrase, it tries to find like a simple word. And then if it doesn't find anything, it combines online and offline content and tries to put an appropriate answer. And usually it works. I think Twitter is a good place for chatbots.
Mm-hmm. Now, can you give like a few examples of some like replies that were particularly like on point or made a lot of waves?
Well, tomorrow I have the speak here, and I will show actual screens for this bot mm-hmm. in action. But actually, it can answer anything. And I think the people start to engage with the chatbot, even when they don't think it's actually the president, but they think that it's somebody
responding to them.
And they engage in the conversation pretty well.
So, like, if I asked it what it... So I see text scrolling on the box. Is this, like, actively what it's tweeting at the moment?
Yes, this box is connected to my phone over here.
Okay.
While tethering, and it takes the last mentions. So always it's in Spanish because Argentina
was
speak
yeah.
Spanish. But we can see there someone working about... someone asking about works, and that's an insult over there. And this bot monitors the account once per hour and goes to the database, tries to find things, and it also combines online and offline content. Like, it goes to the opposition newspaper.
Oh, really?
Takes headlines and use those headlines
as like replies and things.
Yeah, yeah.
So it tends to be on topic for and up to date on modern topic.
Up to date. That's a nice trick because people think, well, there's somebody there reading the news and writing about it. So,
I don't know, let's say that there was some scandal in the newspaper. If I tweeted, like, angrily at this, like, how dare blah, blah, blah do this, it's going to give me some type of reply that's related to that scandal that just happened.
Yeah, that's right. Of course, not always the answers are so good, but usually I put this last year, and for months and months and months, nobody detected that it was a chatbot. Not at all. They always think that
everyone thought it was a real person.
Even when the illusion was not perfect, because this is executed with a cron job in a Linux box once per hour.
Yeah.
And so if you write at 2 in the morning, the bot will answer. Of course, if you think the president will not be there answering at 2 a.m. in the morning every
yeah.
day. But anyway, the people think that somebody's there.
Have you noticed people actively trying to, like, trick it and get it to do, like, prove that it's a chatbot, like, get it to give weird answers?
That only happens after I publish an article in the magazine.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that was just people that know that this is a bot, so read the article and started to try to trick. And of course, yeah. You can do that. It's not perfect. But if you don't know it, if you think that it's a regular Twitter account, then the illusion is pretty good.
Has this made waves down in like Argentina? Like, has any, like the news picked it up? And been, how many followers does it have?
It has 8,000.
So 8,000 followers. And do you think most of the 8,000 think that, like, are they following it because they know it's a bot, or are they following it because they think it's the real president?
I think there are three main groups of people interacting with this bot. In the group A, I will put people that think that this is the president. The original account is CFK Argentina,
mm-hmm.
Cristina Fernandez de Kirchner, that's the first letters. And that is an institutional account managed by a CM working for the former president. And I put this account so people think, well, maybe this account is actually the president. And responding means answer. So she's using this account to answer to the citizen.
Yeah.
So some people think that it's actually the president and asking for jobs and stuff like that.
Have you ever thought about making another Twitter bot for the opposition parties so that, like, the bots fight amongst themselves on government issues?
Oh, that's a pretty interesting idea. I will think about that. Yeah, that's interesting. I could do one because last year we changed government.
Okay.
There's a new government in place, so I can do that. A new Twitter account for Mauricio Macri, which is the president now in Argentina.
Okay. So this isn't the current president? It's a previous president that...
Yeah, sure, because we had like a monarchy-style government there.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, a guy named Néstor Kirchner won the presidency, and he was 4 years. And then his wife won the presidency, super riots.
Right after him?
Right after. So that's very strange because we have 41 million people in Argentina. So what are the odds
of
having the best two for office in the same home? It's like strange.
I mean, we're seeing that right now in America, but at least we had a gap in the middle, I guess.
Well, you have that, sure. With Clinton, right? Yeah. And you had a father and son as well.
And we had father and son, and they tried for another son, so we could have had a father and two sons.
Oh, that's...
So, yeah, that's maybe right. Good leaders do come from the same household.
It could be, but it makes you think that not always the same people have the best opportunity, and you don't have the best people there.
So. Yeah. So what made you decide to create this bot?
Well, it started... as an experiment, I was following the official Twitter account, and it turned out that it was not a professional account. Using this presidential Twitter account, they used to make like racist Chinese jokes.
And, uh-huh.
And when I read that, I thought, well, I made that porn chatbot in the mid-90s, and it didn't work. But then the people recognized the bot behind the woman when they tried to chat.
Yeah.
And then I thought, well, I wasn't wrong. I was just early. So
you had this is a bot that you had created. You haven't repurposed someone else's bot. This is something you wrote a porn bot. I didn't realize that to begin with.
Sure, it was originally written in Active Server Pages, which was a programming language pretty popular back then,
mm-hmm.
connected to an Access database. So I decided to give it a try, to put that old chatbot. I migrated everything. I rewrote it in PHP, and I migrated the database from Access to MySQL.
Okay.
And then I wrote a piece of code to connect that chatbot to Twitter using Twitter API. So all the inputs are now provided by mentions, and all the outputs are provided with Twitter status update.
Okay.
So I decided to give it a try, and it started to work really well. I was the first surprise about that. And I was a little scared too, because I don't know, here maybe you think that the government is responsible for some things, but there we know for sure that government was responsible for many things, including violent things. So mm-hmm. at first I was a little bit scared about the experience.
Do you think that the former president is aware of this fake Twitter account?
I don't know.
If he complained, would someone make a suggestion in terms of what replies it should be making, do you feel?
I don't know if he knows. Of course, it doesn't have so many followers, but it had interactions with important people there in politics.
There are people in politics that think that it's real, and it's replying to them, and it's the former president.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Of course.
Huh. And but he has a real account as well.
Yes.
Or at least a government account that...
Yeah, the real account is still there, and I don't know, once every 10 days or 15 days, there's someone there writing. And sometimes I put the same things, I take some extracts from the same text and I put it there, and my tweets here got likes and stuff like that, so.
How close is the name of your Twitter bot to his real name? Is it like a typo or is it very different?
This is one CFK Responde and the other one CFK Argentina.
Okay.
So it's not the same, but the idea was to let people
make
think
it
that it could use this account to answer
or
whatever. So.
So like this aside, you said that you were developing a chatbot for the for like. To pretend to be a woman for porn in the 90s, you said?
In the 90s, yeah.
How did you fall into that? Like, how did you first get involved with technology and writing things like chatbots?
I was a programmer since I was really young. I had an old TK-85 computer, which was like the C1000, was a really basic machine connected to the television. So I used to program when I was a child. So
yeah.
I was in contact with this world. Like always, I work in programming computers for several years, and in the 90s I was working for a woman's news website in charge of the content management system.
Okay.
All the articles were like Finding Your Prince Charming and Diets for the Summer, and I think that being there with all the journalists and stuff provoked a reaction on me, and I thought at that point I will be a porn millionaire or something. So
yeah,
it all started like that.
You said that you started from a very young age. Do you know what BBSs are?
Yeah, sure.
Did you guys have like a BBS culture down there, like in the 90s?
Yes, we had. Back then it was like lots of BBS, and you call using dial-up.
Yep, sure. Yeah, we had something very similar here where I remember like when I first discovered BBSs, there were, you know, some in my town, and I found them by like war dialing, like setting my computer up and just dialing every number. I found one that a friend had given me, and then that one had software to find other ones. Something I didn't realize at the time was that there was long distance phone calls cost money, because you know I was like 11 or 12 maybe, and one month I ran up like a $400 phone bill calling California BBSs to download software and things like that.
Your parents were like crazy.
Oh, they were pissed. Yeah. I never did it again, but yeah, I realized that I shouldn't call non-local numbers. So the BBS culture down there, could you talk about it a little bit? Like,
yeah, not so much. In fact, I had different times with technology. When I started, it wasn't the BBS moment. In fact, my computer wasn't connected to anything.
Sure.
It was just me with the magazines programming. Then at the BBS time, I used to use one or two with some information that I like. It was a completely new world there, like you will be able to connect with other people and obtain software and stuff like that. But that wasn't, at that time, I wasn't so much connected with technology. So
mm-hmm.
I cannot tell you about all the different BBS that were there and stuff like that.
Okay, so then you said you weren't so connected with technology. At what point, like, did technology like click for you, where you're like, now I'm connected?
Oh, it was different times. At first, when I was a child, I spent a lot of time with computers, programming, and I learned with magazines,
mm-hmm.
the manual of the computer and stuff like that. It was I was very connected. Then I was out for some years. Then I returned. I think pretty heavy after college. I had a music band and then I left, and then I returned to computers and I started to work and everything. So I had different times. It's not like always the same.
Yeah, yeah. In college, did you focus on technology? Did you get a degree in something else?
Yes, system analysis.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. But as usual, I think the same thing happens here. It's like, the most modern things are not in the university or the college. You learn it in different places.
Let's bring this in. Hello.
How's it going? Sorry to derail your conversation. That's my job.
No, it's okay. So,
I will check a picture.
Yeah, right? So, this is the I guess, the first person like experiencing the Hope Convention remotely.
On AKA a the smart one.
So this is my girlfriend Bridget.
Oh, actually, if you want to hop on a microphone, yeah, we can talk a little. You don't mind, right? We have a drone in the middle of the room.
All right, let me move that there or move that closer so if she chats, I can read what she's saying.
Oh, okay, sure.
We might want to.
So she has like a clear view.
Oh, what's this photo?
I bet you're gonna throw these out.
We haven't cleaned up from partying last night.
I missed that one.
I still don't know who, like, stripper tipped us. Like, that's going to be weird looking back in the archives.
I'm going to try to rotate her so she can see everybody.
Okay.
Let's see.
Hello? Little drone person?
So, yeah. So, this is Bridget. She's the first person to experience Hope by a remote drone.
Can she pilot that remotely?
Yes. So she's actually in Jersey City right now.
Oh, that's not... Okay.
And oh, cool. I'm from Jersey too, Somerville.
Oh, very nice. So the thing is, it actually runs through a website.
Okay.
And the robot, or it's like a Pi in there. The Pi just pulls the website with like the latest instruction fed into it. So you can get somebody from anywhere. You could like have a person in Oregon go to the website, pop in instructions, and it was still driving.
Go left, go right, go forward.
Exactly. Don't do any of that now. But yeah, I was kind of worried. I'd done a lot of work on this thing last year, and we had brought it to the Maker Faire,
mm-hmm,
where it worked. It was still kind of primitive. Like, the instruction handling wasn't as good. And I was worried that I wouldn't be able to set it up properly once I got here, like, you know, technical issues on the spot. But when I got in this morning, it just worked. And I was like, thank God.
Are you going to be doing a talk on this in 2 years? At the Hope Conference?
I would actually like to do. I did all the code.
Mm-hmm.
Right? My buddy John did all the hardware stuff. So I was thinking, in that free room upstairs, if I could get John to give a portion of his day, he could give, like, a lecture by proxy.
Yeah, like, do all of it remotely. That'd
on his own drone.
Yeah, and he could explain that he did all the wiring, and I did all the setup, which was an amazing, like, daisy chain of programming languages, like HTML, like Python embedded, or, like the Arduino is running C, stuff like that.
Yeah, you want to get a little closer to the microphone. Okay. Yeah, yeah.
But, yeah, it was actually... Just kind of figuring out how to do the chain was the tricky part of it.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, otherwise, like, it's fairly simple.
For all of our listeners on Radio Static, can you visually describe the hardware setup with the drone?
Okay, so what I've got going on over here, inside is just a regular, like, Pi processor, something. I have to go actually check what it is. And it's connected by serial port to an Arduino.
Mm-hmm.
The Arduino is wired into the motors of the car.
And I see it's sponsored by NASA.
Oh, yes. Because we were at the Maker Faire. The people from NASA thought it was cool, so they came over and put a sticker on it.
It's officially sponsored by NASA.
So it's officially sponsored by NASA.
Nice.
But
is that the ultimate goal, is to send her to Mars? Be like the first commercial remote to Mars?
I mean, it could work.
It'd be one interesting lag. Yeah, and it's on wheels and everything, so it's not a flying drone. Do you want to look into flying next time? Or
here's the thing: if we can connect one of these Pis to like a flying drone, like get into its motors and stuff, it would work just as well.
Mm.
Like when I was designing it, one of the things I wanted was for it to be adaptable.
Right.
Right. It does something very simple. It reads the instruction, parses it out, and tells the Arduino what just came in.
Mm-hmm.
All the Arduino has to do is say turn on, you know, this motor or this motor. And that's it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's actually already ready to be adapted to other things.
Nice. So it's modular in design. Awesome.
Exactly. Like that was one of my goals when putting it together. Mm-hmm. I didn't want something that was like hardwired to be just this.
Everything possible for your special one. Speaking of a special one, is this technically her first Hope, or is she?
This is her first Hope.
Her
yes.
first Hope. what does she think so far remotely?
Bridget, what do you think so far? You have to type in chat.
I know, this is great radio, waiting for typing and chat. Which is exactly right. And now we will be tweeting pictures out later about this. So.
She said, I'm having a lot of fun. So for those who can't see, I've actually jammed a tablet on the front, and I'm using Skype video chat so she can see what's going on in front of her.
Have you looked into talks at all, possibly? Not that Skype is bad, I'm just...
Actual talks? Well, this is the first year that I've rolled something out like this, and I suppose if there was interest...
Not talks, although that's good. Talks. It's another video peer-to-peer encryption platform. Yeah. No, that's okay.
Sorry,
I'm still going down from last night, and that's tonight's going to get worse, so yeah.
Don't worry about it.
So she hears what's going on and then can respond back with text?
Exactly.
Okay.
Well, I mean, like, the thing we use at the Maker Faire, this, like, right. just a headset. We had, like, a Bluetooth headset to listen in. Right? This is, like, secondary, though.
Right.
Like, we just think about what we're going to use to have them see later on, and Skype is just easy.
Yeah. Like, I'm not blaming you for Skype. I was just curious if you tried, like, other video platforms.
No, we haven't really tried anything. It's just
cool. Just because,
nice,
you know,
and simple.
I'm just worried that, like, someone's going to, like, eventually, like, I mean... Because we're at a HackerCon, so people would be interested that all of a sudden she's wondering why all of a sudden, like, it's just careening into one of the toilets, you know.
That'd be awesome.
That's awesome.
That would be awesome.
How long do the batteries last on that?
I see a solar attached
solar
to it.
Battery, well, this battery is just for the Raspberry Pi.
Yeah. Okay. So it doesn't do the wheels or anything.
No, there's another, like, super battery under here locked in place that's powering the motors. So that lasts a very, very long time. And yes. I know this because that battery's been charged since 2015. And it's still going. Bear in mind, it's not like I'm running it every day.
How many amps is that? What's the capacity on that thing?
I check for you, but it's buried under all this. I don't want to take it.
Okay, no wonder why NASA slapped the sticker on it.
So it's a very strong one. We got something. We thought of the bad things that could happen if we brought it around. And when it's like, oh, if it runs out of batteries midday, then we're just stuck. You know, explain to people.
Like the segues, yeah. Have you, before I turn it back to her, because I am interested about, because we are definitely, like, talking about, like, people who this is their first time. There's a lot of people where this is their first.
Yeah, I've noticed that. There's been a much bigger crowd.
Have you talked, have you ever met, we have a friend named Chef, who's doing a talk, and this kind of a theme this year. We have a lot of different stuff, like we have a lot of biohacking talks and villages and stuff, and one of the big things we've been talking about is accessibility. Has anyone ever approached you as, like, because I think this would be a great design for, like, people who maybe have social anxiety issues or who are not very mobile, of, like, really getting out to stuff like this? That could be a thing for you, man.
That could be nice. I haven't really done any marketing yet.
Like, just something you can do, you know?
It's something that would interest me.
Yeah.
It's like the last big event for this was the Maker Faire, which was last year. Mm-hmm. And then we were going to do it on New Year's, but we didn't really get a chance to.
Right.
And the thing is, 2016 then got busy, so we got a little sidetracked.
But I know how that feels.
I knew when we put it together the first time, I wanted to bring it to Hope.
Yeah.
I was like, there's one place we'll find a community of people would really enjoy this.
And is not sponsored by DARPA. It would be Hope, yes.
But I mean, if someone did approach me about something like that for helping socially anxious people, or like having like a room full of drones where people could just like remote into one and, you know, meet and greet.
Oh, that'd be fun.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Like, the possibilities are endless.
Right.
It's like, I would be all for that.
Question for her over here. What's the thing you are most looking forward to at this con remotely? Like, is it vendors that you should sit there?
She doesn't know
seeing
much
people?
About the con itself.
That's fine.
But I think, what have you been enjoying so far, Bridget?
Yeah.
What's your favorite thing?
She's typing something. No, it's okay. Faster. No. Take your time. We were lucky we have content right now. it's total six wheels.
Yep.
This is six wheels here.
So
yeah. This
was, I think the chassis is called like a wild bumper.
And how long did this take again? To
build?
Concept to completion? Yeah.
So it's actually interesting because this is the second model. The first model was a smaller one with a smaller $30 chassis.
Like an RC type car thing, yeah.
Yeah, we call it Anthony Bot. the reason for that is back in 2014, my friend Anthony, who's been like my friend for a long time, he moved out to Oregon. And my friends and I, we always do a New Year's party, and he was going to be there. So like, I have smart friends, I have people who do this kind of stuff. I'm also a programmer. So we got together, we bought a chest, we got a Raspberry Pi. It's like, we are going to remote him into our party. And that is exactly what we did.
Oh,
sure. Bridget wrote, I don't know much about the convention, but I'm enjoying looking at the exhibits.
Oh, yes.
And I couldn't read the rest of that before it went away.
If she does a Google search and look back through pictures, I mean, we do have art here. But I think particularly like Last Hope and before, it was like a big art explosion. I've been talking to Rob and other people on the art team, and I heard stuff that they want to try something really big for 2018.
She also wrote, it's been fun being in the comfort of my bed this whole time.
Oh, yeah. That's that. We don't know what a bed is. We don't know what sleep is. Some people know what showers are, and that's been a saving grace for this con so far this morning.
The nice thing, I don't mean to cut off.
No, that's fine.
Regarding Anthony Bot was, after we did it, we took some videos and we posted it online, then we posted it to Reddit, and they got like 30,000 views. And then my buddy Jason Hinkle and I got invited up to Google to see a seminar on ad revenue.
Really?
Because our YouTube video got so many hits in one day. So we actually got to go up and hang out at the Google offices for a bit.
I love that they see a piece of modular hardware connected with web stuff, and the thing they invite you to is a thing on ad revenue. That really shows like the Google mindset of like all of the marketing people there.
Yeah, well, they're a business. So
I know.
You have to give them a little bit of leeway, I suppose.
I also love that she currently right now thinks Radio Statler is just one giant microphone.
Oh, true, yeah.
I mean, we
That's
do
really
have range on
see.
These, but yeah, there are people here. Well, at least you can't see all the amazing, how do we call this, artwork around
wow,
the room. Yeah. Interesting thing that she might want to know about Radio Settler is that we actually encourage drawing on the walls because that's actually how we figure out how to put them back together every year. That's a little bit of trivia about that. Actually, I'm going to step out a bit. Maybe you want to tell them a bit more about radio and ask a couple more questions.
Actually, we got to wrap up.
Got to wrap? Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, that's fine.
But sorry for the drone interruption. Yeah, yeah.
No problem.
So, Ronnie, you're doing a talk on your presidential Twitter bot tomorrow. Do you know which room it's in?
Yeah, Friedman room at 12.
Okay, Friedman room at 12. And then, just real quick, like roughly, like you're gonna talk like what we did, but you're gonna have some examples of the conversations
right.
that people
were
having.
I'd like to talk about the original porn chatbot with screens, and then I will talk about technical details and all the political stuff in Argentina that's going on.
Okay, cool. Thank you so much for coming in.
Yeah, thank you.
I appreciate it. I'm excited for your talk.
Thank you.
I've heard a lot of people saying good stuff, being excited, so I think you're going to do good.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Okay.
And thank you for having me on, too.
Yeah, cool. Thanks for coming in.
And thank you to together.
My name is Chris.
Yes. Chris and
Bridget.
Bridget, yes. Thank you for joining us.
We're going to get back.